With your permission, Sovereign Lord, in the Blessed Sacrament, we are now talking to our Lord, preparing ourselves to be accompanying Him in the sacrifice of the Mount Calvary, which is the Mass. The Mass made present, really present, sacramentally present, the same sacrifice, as we know, not a repetition of the sacrament, but the same sacrament itself, which jumps over the limitations of time and place. The Lord is here with us, really present, as He was in the public life, in His public life. There, He was really present physically. Here, really present sacramentally. He was going throughout the all places, from Galilee to Judea, and even beyond the limits of Palestine itself, to the land of the Phoenicians, to Tyre, to Sidon. You see, the zeal for our Lord, for our salvation, He is God. He could have said, well, I do just a token kind of preaching, and then whoever can take it, take it. Whoever doesn't want, okay, I don't care. We were seeing how the Lord approached St. Matthew, the apostle, because it's a sample, it's a pattern of how the Lord approaches everyone, how He met you and all of us. St. Matthew, a tax collector. The people of Israel at this time were under the Roman Empire. But don't think that the Roman Empire was something in which the emperor reached out to the smallest places in the huge empire. Not so. The Romans were very practical, and it seems that in this case, at least, they farmed out the collection of taxes. It means, for instance, at the beginning of every year, there is a public bidding. Okay? Who wants to bid to take charge of the collection of the taxes in, for instance, southern Tagalog, Calabarzon? Okay? They calculate how much taxes they expect to collect, so they make a sort of discount, and you say, okay, so how much you give? And then people, entrepreneurial companies, they say, okay, you bid, you send your proposal, okay, for you. Okay, so this company or this individual, one of them was St. Matthew, paid to the Romans a big amount of money for the taxes in southern Luzon. Okay? Now, he was in charge to collect all the taxes for himself because he has already paid the Romans. So, of course, the tax collector always wanted to go beyond the boundary. Boundary, because it's my money. So first, they have to recover what they have given to the Romans, and second, they have to make profit. So it seems that sometimes they were very voracious, and the people looked down on them, despised them. First, because they were collaborating with the Romans, and second, because they were squeezing them. The name of Matthew was Levi. which means adhering to God, attaching oneself to God. But Jesus changed his name, or he was already changed his name, Matthew. He was there in his bench. And the Lord went by. Yes, we are told in the gospel, the Lord was passing by and he saw a man, Matthew by name. That's what he himself is writing in the gospel. Gospel of St. Matthew, right? The Lord was passing by. Isn't it true that the Lord is always passing by in our life, in the life of every person? Sometimes we do not notice him. Do I notice Jesus passing by in my life? In all the circumstances, painful circumstances, it's the Lord. Joyful circumstances is the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do I associate, do I connect everything with the will of God, what the Lord wants me to do in this situation? Because we should all realize that the Lord is passing by. And not just from time to time, but constantly. Right now, he's accompanying us in the sacrament. But also in the inner core of our heart is accompanying us, helping us to talk to him. We are talking to him. He doesn't take vacation. He is God. He is with you. He is with me always. As long as we do not reject him. Lord, help us so that first we do not ignore you, realize that you are with us. And second, that help us so that we never throw you away from us, from me, by choosing something that is contrary, incompatible with you. Jesus was passing by, and so a man. So St. Matthew describes himself as a man that the Lord saw. How did he see him? You see how deep the glance of our Lord. The Lord looks at you. The Lord looks at us. And his glance pierces through the appearances. He sees us the way God looks at us. As a child of his, as an icon of Christ, that's what you are. Or rather, that's what you and I have to try to be constantly, moving to be the person that the Lord is looking at. Lord, look at me. Show me your steps. Show me your ways. He saw him. That means that the Lord never passes like aloof. I don't care. So there is a fellow there, he's a tax collector. Why should I mind looking at him? I'm in a hurry. I have to look forward. I don't have to waste my time. No. For the Lord, you and I, no matter who you are, we are valuable. We are persons whom the Lord is directing his glance to us. The Lord is saying, what a pity if this person would respond to my call, if this person would live according to the vocation he or she has received. That's the way the Lord looks at a person. He sees the potential. Why? Because he sanctifies us, it's true. But he does not sanctify us. He doesn't want to make us holy if we do not collaborate. Which is a sign of respect. A dog or any other mascot, you don't expect any response. No, well, total, it's an animal. No, you are not an animal for God. No one. Each one of us is a child of God. That's why he honors us when he demands from us that response, that collaboration. The Greek called synergy. Synergy. Energy means to work. Syn means altogether. Sama sama. Okay? So the Lord wants to make you another Christ, but he will not do it without your active collaboration, your choice, your decision. What happens if I choose not to collaborate with God? Yeah, it happened to many people, but they don't reach anywhere. They just disappear, in a manner of speaking. They destroy themselves, actually. They destroy themselves because they become what they have chosen. That is not God. And not God is destruction. There is a non-God existing, no. There is a competitor of God? No, there is no competitor. So when we choose to despise God, we choose, but we destroy ourselves at the same time. Lord, look at us. As you looked at Matthew, he responded to you. He said, "Here I am." He followed you. May I also respond in the same way. He saw the man Matthew, he said. The man, he described himself. What does it mean? He was just a human being without a destiny. It's like a dove, but without wings. Yeah, you can call it a dove, but what is it good for? Where is it going? Where is it flying? A man. He sought the man. Because Matthew had not clearly defined his vocation, the reason for his existence. He didn't know what was he for. He didn't know at that time that he was supposed. God wanted him to be an apostle and go to preach to Egypt and Ethiopia and very far places and die martyr, probably, and write the gospel, the first gospel. He didn't know. That's why he was simply a man. And the Lord saw the man who was there behind the counter. He was like the cork of a bottle that you throw in a pond and start floating and bobbing up and down and going where? Nowhere. It just stays there waiting that somebody drops or somebody pushes it or the water runs to another pond. Has no destiny in his life. Has no reason or doesn't know the reason of his existence. Doesn't know for what specifically purpose the Lord wants him and brought him to existence. He was a man, but in the limiting side of it. A man who was supposed to be, or a man that remaining a man, had to become an apostle because the Lord has chosen him as he has chosen us. We were just people. The Lord chose you, and we remain human beings, of course, but now with a destiny, now with a reason for our existence, now fully aware that the Lord wants from you that collaboration we were talking about, that synergy, working together. Wants this from you to transform you constantly. He's doing this right now into an icon of Christ, into a child of God. Not just into something good. No, it's much more than that. He's transforming you into another Christ. He's bringing you to his family. You are mine. I have called you, the Lord says. So the direction of our transformation is not for something, you know, more or less good. No, I insist. Is to be close to God, something unbelievable if it were not true. To transform you into God's family, which is the church on earth, and then the company of God in heaven, the same thing, but in a different situation. Do I see that direction in my life? Do I work together? Work together means you work. You cannot let him work. Okay, you go ahead. Mauna ka. Pagod na pagod. So, I'm tired. No, so you go ahead na lang. I'll follow you later. No. We have to synergy, to work together with Jesus for our sanctification, to our transformation into another Christ. Do I see that this time, this way, I become a son, a daughter of the church more intensely? Do I realize that this is God's family, the church, and the corner in which the church has placed us for many people, the parish, the for us in the prelature, well, part of the church, of course. That's what the Lord has called us, to be children of the church, and the church is our mother. And we cannot survive without the church, because this is the direction of our sanctification, of our divinization. That is, he makes us somehow divine. It sounds very bad, no? Well, this is real. In a mystical way, the Lord transforms us, deifies us, divinizes us into himself. The fathers of the church compare it to a piece of iron. We are a piece of iron, black, unappealing. Then you take that iron bar and you put it in the forge, okay, in the fire, and you wait there, and the fire transforms the iron and it becomes shining. Exactly like the fire, practically, if you look at it, there's no difference. Like the flames that surround it. This is how God transforms us. But is it no longer iron? No, it remains iron, but now shining and able to be molded. That's what the grace of God, God's presence in us, God looking at us in the deeper sense, does with each one of us. We are the iron. But what happens if you go away from the fire? You remain iron, but it will cool down and it will be as black as before, like bullion, okay? Not like a flame. He saw the man. And he told him, follow me. It's our vocation to be good Christians, to be apostles, is an imperative command of Jesus. So the destiny of our life, the direction of our life, is to walk, to step on Jesus' footprints. We are following Jesus. And we are transforming ourselves into him every day, today, now. Do I see to it that I put my foot there, my shoes there, exactly in the footprints that the Lord has left there, imprinted, very clear, for me to step on? You know what I mean. The Lord wants me to do this, I do it. The Lord wants me to put aside that, I do so. So, I was saying, and we were contemplating our conversation with our Lord, our calling to be apostle. It's not just an invitation. Sometimes we think, well, if you like. It doesn't sound like that when the Lord talked to Matthew. He could have told him, well, I don't know about you, but I wonder if you would like, I don't know how to, you could arrange your things, your duties as a tax collector, but maybe, just say maybe, and perhaps you should consider, you should follow me. No, the Lord did not say that. He says, follow me, right? That's what he told you. That's what he told me. Follow me. So, it's more than an invitation. Yes, it's an invitation. It looks like an invitation. It is more than that. It's a command. Why? Because with him, everything. Without him, nothing. So it's not just the possibility, it's the only possibility to accomplish ourselves, to be the kind of person God wants you to be, is to be another Christ, to follow him, to be faithful to your calling, to respond to that voice of the Lord, which we call invitation, but is much more than that, because is our life involved into it. The Lord has called us. The Lord called him. Did the Lord call Matthew when he was praying in the temple? I'm afraid not. He was in Galilee, as a matter of fact, what it seems. He called him when he was working. So you see, for the immense majority of people, the Lord looks at us and reminds us of our direction. It's not that he at that time gives us a direction. No, we were born with that direction in our life. So otherwise you would not have been born. So we were born for a purpose, which we must discover, because otherwise we'll be groping in darkness. We have discovered it. That's why we have to help people to discover what the Lord expects from them. They have to discover. We cannot discover it for them. Like the blind man, we can only tell them, courage, he's calling you. Stand up. And we said yes. But that cannot consider as we said yes. No, I correct myself. We are saying yes. Yeah, that's more close to it. We are saying yes today. Because it's not enough to have said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. We are not prisoners of God. He wants us free. He wants you today to say yes, and every day. So every day is a step ahead. St. Paul speaks of a race. A race is not a jump. A race is, well, one step after another, running till the end of our life. Lord, help us. Then Matthew, we read, the first thing he did is to prepare a banquet for the Lord. What did he serve in that banquet? What food? I think it were two courses. The first course in that banquet was his personal surrender to the Lord, his love. That was the first course. And that's the first course we have to serve the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. Here I am. That attachment to Jesus. That desire to be with him always, to be close to him, to deal with him, to love him. And the second course? The second course is, the gospel describes it, that many tax collectors and sinners came and they were reclining with Jesus. That is, they were present in the banquet. The second course is our effort, our desire, our prayer to bring many other people closer to Jesus. So there you have the menu. And that's the menu you have to serve the Lord today. Today and every day of your life. First, your devout dedication to Him. I'm yours, Lord, accept me. You are mine, never go away from me. Here I am. And second, thank you, Lord, for making me an apostle. Every Christian is an apostle, must be an apostle. Let's go forward. Remember, it's not that once we said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. No, it's that right now we are saying yes. You remember sometimes in the movies how they make slow motion. Well, this is slow motion. We are right now saying, yes, Lord. We have not finished to say it, okay? That's it. That's a very clear description of it. Allow the Lord to see you. Allow the Lord to pierce your heart. He knew us before He called us. Don't hide your defect from Him, your limitation, but with humility, with simplicity, so necessary to be an apostle, humility, simplicity, to follow Jesus, whatever He wants, in the manner He wants, until the end. There is no end for us, because we will continue forever in the Lord if we are faithful, if we serve that first course of our personal surrender to Him, if we serve that second course of our apostolate. That's the banquet that Matthew was offering. But then the Lord, well, typical in the Philippines, you had to correspond, right? It was a reflection of the other banquet in heaven that we expect all to be there forever, in which God Himself will be the food. Now we have a taste, just a taste, Tagalog tikim, in the Eucharist. Okay, we are going to taste a little bit what's going to be served in that banquet in heaven. That is Jesus Himself. Prepare yourself for this food tasting of heaven. Let's go to our mother. She is preparing the food because she prepared Jesus Christ. She gave Him everything that makes Him human, her flesh. So in a way, we can say that our mother is a Eucharistic woman because she prepared the Eucharist, that is Jesus, the body and blood of Jesus, for us, for all. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and